This is Spinning on Air. I'm David Garland. Devin Sproul joins me in the WNYC studio, and I'm so glad she does. I've been enjoying her recordings for some time. She's got a voice that I love to listen to. It's a very natural, very skillful singing voice. And Devin Sproul's music has been evolving and developing and kind of these days moving a little bit out of the conventional comfort zone, but she sounds very comfortable doing it. Devin Sproul, welcome to Spinning on Air. Let's hear a song called The Fan.
One, two, three. This summer, the heat will be more than a bummer in the summer. When we moved, the air was moving all up and down the city. It's gonna be more than the windows open, and it's so sad when you have to close them, and the night can't close in, and the fan goes round and round. Fix the rope swing between us in the pre-dusk, and I'll fly to Carolina when my sister delivers her second. Yeah, I'll try to figure if I'm dead set on kids, yeah. At the end of the day. I hope you feel the same way then as you do now. And the fan goes and runs and runs and runs around and around and runs and runs and runs and runs and runs.
Nice summer song from Devin Sproul, who's performing here in the WNYC studio. Devin Sproul is one of those artists who, you know, when I tell people I know that Devin Sproul is coming to the radio show and I'm all excited, not all of them know what I'm talking about. But in my world, Devin, you're a superstar, so it's great to have you here.
Oh, thank you. And really nice playing in here, and for you.
Good, good. Devin, where do you live these days?
In Austin, okay. Which is what I wrote that song about.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right. But you were born in Canada?
In Ontario, Kingston.
All right. Is that the sort of starting point of connecting with the Canadian musicians who are playing with you here?
Not at all. But it is a nice bonus to working with them, feeling a little of that in there. But it's only a little. I moved to Virginia when I was tiny. And we actually met through a record label called Tin Angel Records based in Coventry in the Midlands of England. So it's a roundabout route, but a really, really nice one.
Could you introduce the members of the band?
I would love to. So Tom Gill was singing and playing guitar just now. Josh Cole is playing bass. Robin Dan was singing. And Philippe Melanson was playing drums.
And these are folks who have performed with the group Bernice here on Spinning On Air. And they have a wonderful project of their own. But they're with you today, Devin Sproul. And let's just go to some more music.
Love to.
Give people that sound. This is a piece called Hannah.
Trumpet song, here come the hungry dogs. Hannah, you're all alone. Hannah, the hunt is on. High up the trumpet song. Near enough to the one you love. When you hold someone so hard against your chest, but you can't get near enough. You can't get near enough to the one you love. When you were a newborn on your father's bed, you were already trying to lift your head. Slept through the dark was the St. Joan fire. The fireworks, Hannah, na 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 na. Hannah, look out below. The big ditch is overgrown. The way out is thick and green. Up through the nettle stain. Hannah, the hunt is on. Trumpet song, here come the hungry dogs. Hannah, you're all alone. It's a pain that makes your heart want to explode when you can't get near enough. on and on, the white noise of trumpets on, the traffic of hungry dogs. Hannah, we're all alone. Hannah, you're up to speed, you have everything you need. When you wanna rest your bones, Hannah, you can come home.
Hannah, performed here in the WNYC studio by Devin Sproul and her band. And Devin, you had told me that that song is called Hannah, but you let me know that it had to be spelled J-A-N-A. So that implies to me that it's not just any Hannah, but you have a very specific Hannah in mind.
I've been touring quite a bit in England in the last 10 years, and I met a fellow there whose daughter lives half there and half in Spain, where her mother lives, and I wrote the song for her and for the her in me. Seems like she's blossomed in the midst of this kind of crazy multinational parent thing that's going on. I've had a bit of that as well, just not being able to identify myself with one particular place 100%, and so feeling a little bit, a little unanchored, and then sinking into that, and sort of embracing that and then losing myself in it. So it's been this, it's been, we were talking a minute ago about growing up in this alternative community thing and then living in Austin, which is this pocket of culture. And then we lived in Berlin for a while, this little island. And then people call me Canadian too. So it's just I think I can relate to this feeling of you're trying to blossom wherever you are.
I enjoy the way your songs are full of specifics and specific images, but the meaning is a little bit open to interpretation. I have a good sense that you have a clear vision of it, but it's open for me to enter into and to use my own imagination.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I think some of it is enjoying keeping it open, and some of it is like a privacy thing. So if you hide yourself a little bit in that, then you can still sing the songs without feeling self-conscious or most of the time.
Is singing and writing songs a way to make your private life public in some way? Or you want to make it public and keep it private too?
It's a processing, so it's like processing life.
Okay.
Being lucky enough to do that publicly sometimes, and then finding the balance between having processed it into songs and wanting to have that experience and to share, hopefully, the smell of or the feel of honesty without, you know, taking all your clothes off.
And that processing through music is something you need. You've got to do that.
I wish that I could just say yes. I think it's a habit, because I got started pretty young, especially for living in an alternative place that very much encouraged being creative. I still don't think that my starting to be creative was a very natural thing, because it was as though, because I enjoyed singing and because it was okay with all my hippie family that I would try to make a career in it, then it was almost sort of expected. And I also got started at an age, the age of maybe 15, which I think is it's a tricky age to start being creative, because you're so self-conscious at that age. The inner critic is born and developed and, you know, riding you pretty hard even then. So I think it's taken me a lot of years, regrettably, some of that in the public, like, you know, I kind of hide away my first few records a bit. It's taken me a long time to start needing it and to start to integrate it into my personal life.
Interesting. Yeah.
Maybe.
I can hear in the music of yours that I know that you've recorded a development, a big change in attitude, I think. Some of the earlier stuff is very much what we think of when someone says singer-songwriter. It's kind of rootsy, kind of traditional, kind of fulfilling some expectations. Your lovely voice was always there. But now I'm hearing much more from an individual.
That's great. I'm so glad. I think, again, we were just at Twin Oaks, this community where I grew up, and
yeah,
there's
want to talk
so
about
much
that later,
like, but. Yeah, it must be more in my mind. There's so much emphasis on communication there, and I think the earlier stuff was like, I'm pretty good at selling an idea through communication, even if it's not completely genuine. So teaming up with the Toronto folks that I've worked with on the last couple records has been, there's so much more space. And I think that space has sort of forced me to think about what I'm doing and to do it less from a place of what I think people want to hear and more from, where is it more from? I think it's just more from enjoying the process.
All right. Wonderful. You've mentioned the Twin Oaks community, and I want to talk about that. It's a very unusual place where you grew up. But let's hear some more music.
I'd love to.
Devin Sproul is performing for us with her ensemble, and we're going to have a piece called Make It Safe.
Here we are, curled in the dark, like newborns, then like logs. You are a starfish with your leg off the bed, then like a soldier up at attention. The fear in the night, make it safe, make it all right. Riot in the mind, make it safe, make it all right, make it all right. On your birthday, I showed you pics of the outside. You didn't notice, but it passed the time. St. David. Dove muttering into the mouth of Saint Gray. Straighten a boy's leg, make it safe, make it all right. Prime a pearl on the toilet, make her safe, make her all right. All right, make her all right. All right. Make it all right. Make it all right.
nice guys. Thanks.
Make It Safe, a song by Devin Sproul, performed here in the WNYC studio on Spinning on Air. I'm David Garland. We have more with Devin Sproul in a moment here on 93.9 FM WNYC and WNYC.org. This is Spinning on Air. Devin Sproul is here in the WNYC studio performing. I'm David Garland. And Devin, we've mentioned the Twin Oaks community a couple times. Mm-hmm. I understand it's known as an intentional community. Mm. Maybe back when it was founded in the 1960s, it was known as a commune.
Mm. Yeah, people have different... it seems like some people are a little allergic to that, like people on the commune. But I think it's just people are sensitive because of some of the stereotypes of either crazy naked people running around or crazy religious people running around.
Right.
And, you know... There are some naked people there sometimes and some religious people there. But, yeah, it's a non-religious-based, consensus, income-sharing, intentional community. Yeah, yeah.
Founded in 1967?
Yeah, yeah. So I was just telling these guys that when we celebrated our 25th anniversary, there was a 25-foot-long banana split, but you couldn't feed yourself, which I think I was... at the age where that was a little frustrating, but anyway, yeah, it's
what,
been around
a
long time.
You had to feed one another?
Was
yeah. Oh, that's nice.
I know. There's so many of those, like we went in the van on, I'm touring with wonderful band Bernice right now, and we visited there a couple days ago in Virginia, and swam in the pond, picked up some sun and some amazing food, and got in the car, and you know, 30 minutes of like, and then this is amazing, and this amazing, and then a few minutes of like, and then this is, you know, this is the thing that some people have struggled with there, and it's just like anywhere else. It's has its ups and downs.
Yes. It's in Virginia, is that right?
Mm-hmm. It's rural Louisa County.
And you were living there from what age to what age?
About one, when my parents moved from a small other intentional community in Ontario to there, age one to 16, 15, 16.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's where you grew up. That was home.
Mm-hmm.
As you've gone out into the world, what do you see was special about Twin Oaks?
Well, I talked a little earlier about the communication emphasis, which... I think has been a really important part of what I've taken from that, just being a good communicator or valuing it. This is a hard question to like answer without slipping into something, and I don't really know. Like I was when we were there a few days ago, I was trying to sort of to feel it and seeing it through my friend's eyes and. I mean, it's just a very beautiful place and peaceful and quiet, but also just full of life, full of people sharing space, being creative, having different work areas. That's a big part of it. So I think just growing up, you know that feeling you get when you go to a music festival and everyone's just in a good mood, peaceful, and it's like that, but minus like all the beer. and there is some, you know, it's just... Not everyone's happy all the time, but there is more of a feeling of peace. So I guess maybe as a child, you're just, less fear, less hurry.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the whole idea of the place is that people live sort of dormitory style.
Mm-hmm.
Each person has their own bedroom, but other spaces are shared.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a dining hall.
Uh-huh.
Some smaller kitchens, and it's, one of the other sort of pillars is egalitarianism. So it is trying to see if people can live as equals and how that benefits. And
so really it's very different from the way the world generally works.
Especially
the way the
this
United
country,
States,
yeah.
So was it disorienting as a 16-year-old to leave Twin Oaks? Must have been.
I was very attracted to off-the-farm life.
Uh-huh.
Disorienting, I'd say yes. I'd say something that pops to mind, while I'm here, I'm staying with a girlfriend in Brooklyn with her son, and she and I lived together when I moved away. We did young music stuff together. She was my manager, and you know, toured. Well, anyway, it was a whole thing. But yeah, we shared space and we shared clothes, and she was a few years older than me, and she was very generous with me. But I remember one time I think I had borrowed some clothes and like ripped them up or lost them or something, and she gave me some, as we would say at Twin Oaks, some feedback on that. That was just like, you know, people, you know, work hard and sort of treasure or value their things, and it's important to respect that. I think maybe I was coming from a place of like, hey, we're all sharing stuff and this is mine and this is yours. And uh-huh. So maybe that was something that took a little adjusting to, and possibly that with people too. Like, I'm married now and I've been married for 9 years, and there are many married people there, but yeah, just not sharing everything. And I think part of my adult life has been in response to my childhood, and not in a rebellion way, but in a trying new things.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel that as a background, does it feed your songwriting? I guess
as a background. Yeah, that's exactly uh-huh. right. Sorry, I was just trying to think and then remember how you worded that at the same time. And yes, it's the background. That's what it is. And that's where it comes up. Like you mentioned at the beginning of the conversation, like descriptions. And I think it's been the setting for a lot of songs, especially the more sensual, as in describing the senses and what you're picking up and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very lush place.
We spoke of the Twin Oaks community just now, and I found that there's a website. You can learn more about it. It's a place that one can visit if you're down in Virginia.
My dad lives there and gives a great tour.
Uh-huh.
If you have more than 20 minutes that we had.
Sounds like an interesting place. And Devin Sproul grew up there at the Twin Oaks community, the intentional community. And she is sharing her music with us, with her band as well, here in the WNYC studio on Spinning on Air. Let's have another piece. Mm. And this you're doing by special request of me.
Mm.
I asked for this song because it's on your next to most recent album.
Mm-hmm. I Love You, Go Easy. And where we had these 30, 45 minutes at Twin Oaks a couple days ago, and we ate wonderful food, and then we jumped in the pond, and this song begins at the pond.
All right. It's called If I Can Do This, and Devin Sproul performs in the WNYC studio along with guitarist Tom Gill, who's going to sing as well.
Pilots and yellow belly sliders. If you push to that part of the pond on the mossy dock and fall in, hang on to your bits to that part of the pond. We run hot from the sauna, mud at the bottom. If you pick the right path from the pond, you'll come upon God's acre, the Terra bathers. If I can do this, I can do anything. If I can do this, I'm gonna do this. Since the school year's begun, I've run. And I've run, I haven't quit running, as strong as I've ever been. But the hills and the hills keep coming. my team keeps time in the van behind. My brothers watch my shirt change colors. If you could just ask about my daily task, then I can stay abreast of this miserable rhythm. If I can do this, I can do anything. If I can do this, I'm gonna do this. 7 years back, our wedding friends were pudgy and young. A gold tie straightened and a nylon string strummed, hidden on my side. A pair of yellow rubber gloves on the other, a super giant. You were disguised as the sun. If I can do this, I can do anything. If I can do this, I can do. Ooh, the lightning youth, I can do the sitting monk. The mutinous muse, the lesser drunk. While it's still fun and games, it's still just me and you. Let's give ourselves a taste of what we have to lose. If I can do this, I can do anything. If I can do this,
performance here in the WNYC studio, If I Can Do This by Devin Sproul, and she was performing with Tom Gill. Not a song that they had really prepared much beforehand, and they had to kind of throw that together, though you'd never know it to hear it. Lovely song.
Tom and I traveled for a while overseas, and I was just thinking of doing that in Spain after those olives. They're so delicious. Some good times, and that weird beer. It's weird.
I wish we had olives and beer to offer you here.
Well,
at WNYC.
I didn't want to say anything.
Devin, what does a song need to have from your point of view as a songwriter or as a singer or as a listener?
I have a soft spot for that one little change. That song had it. Mike O'Neill, who I co-wrote a bunch of songs with, he said that chord that Tom and I were just singing was sort of what kind of perked his ear up when he first heard my music. But I've sort of stumbled in that at some points there's been like songs that had too many of those in there. So I think, and this is something I learned from writing with Mike, is that like a really simple song with one little
something unexpected,
yeah,
something you haven't heard before,
one little tweak or uh-huh, one little that's a good combo.
So that's something you maybe consciously or unconsciously sort of strive for. You want to get that feeling that you haven't had before, I guess.
Yeah.
A little moment.
Yeah, and it pulls the melody away a little bit. A feeling that's familiar, but that you maybe haven't had before. Yeah, just a little nudge off balance. I don't know, what about you?
Oh, I agree. I might even, I do write music,
yeah,
and maybe you'd be even more off balance.
Yeah.
I like nudges from various directions, but
yeah.
Yes, yes. The, you know, it's an easy thing to be totally unconventional. There are obvious ways to do that. But to be able to speak an understandable language, but use a new vocabulary or use a new combination of words, that's the exciting thing to hear, I think.
Yeah.
That's probably one thing I'm responding to in your music.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear some more.
Mm.
This next piece is called The Opposite Muse. I haven't heard this particular Devin Sproul song before, but she's performing it here in the WNYC studio for us.
Opposite muse, talking all soft, walking me off. No, 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 calm and cruel. The opposite muse, sharing a song, staring too long. No.
Felt great for me too. Thank you. I know. Yeah.
Devin Sproul performing in the WNYC studio. The Opposite Muse is the title of that song. And we have more from her in just a moment on 93.9 FM, WNYC and WNYC.org. This is Spinning on Air. I'm David Garland, and Devin Sproul has been sharing some of her songs with us. And Devin, you're working on a new album. These are new songs to me.
So there is a batch of songs called Colors, and about two-thirds of them have come out on a record called Colors. And then there's a few more that I think will be called Colors 2.
Is that because it's continuing your collaboration with Mike O'Neill?
They are co-written songs also, yeah.
What's the benefit of co-writing a song?
I never knew about that until I did this with Mike, and I didn't think there was one. But I don't know. For us, it was, we did it all remotely, which made it so we didn't ever have to hear the other person giving criticism, which I don't think either of us really likes. So the method that we used, which worked well, was that one of us would demo a song and send it to the other one, and then we would either just be like, that's great, and whatever, or add some stuff, or if we didn't like something, we would just change it and sort of re-demo it back.
So it wasn't so much discussed as just enacted,
right,
the changing.
Yeah, and we weren't, you know, we didn't really know each other that well when we started, so it was very polite, and polite, but also appreciating the other person's work. But also trying to impress each other. So I think logistically that worked really well. And then musically, like I Love You Go Easy, which was the last record, was like had a ton of space and had a lot of, we were talking about some of the wind instruments in it. It was super loose. It was recorded with these three guys in Toronto that were the Silt before they weren't anymore. And they were really, really loose. And that record was really spacious. And then Mike's influence after that was very, I mean, he's got pop coming out of everywhere. It's like he writes a melody and it's just really catchy always. And that just helped me kind of rein it in a little bit. And yeah. And then, so we actually did end up mostly splitting the work. Like I did a lot of the words, which he sometimes struggles with, and he wrote a lot of the melodies, which was so refreshing because I think I've really enjoyed writing melodies that stretch a little more, but it was such a relief to just relax into ones that were quite simple but quite excellent.
And again, Mike O'Neill is your collaborator on that project. Colors is the album that you put together, and you met through one of your low-key karaokes, is that right? Tell people what that is.
Low-key karaoke is this thing I was doing. I've gotten stuck in England for long periods of time, and it's amazing in terms of having good gigs there, but it's kind of, especially Coventry, even though it's one of my favorite places and has some of my favorite people in it, it's a rough town to spend long amounts of time in. And so one of the things I did over this winter, when Paul and I were trying to figure out where to live and we were between Berlin and Austin and it was this weird thing, was sitting in this upstairs bedroom playing the harmony part of like a Beatles song or doing the harmony and having a video of it, it's kind of lo-fi, and asking people to sing along. So then it becomes this remote duet. When Mike submitted to that, which was the first I heard from him, it was definitely, you know, the best that I'd gotten, and then grew into that remote collaboration that I described, which was our writing process.
Are you still taking submissions to the low-key karaoke?
Yeah, I am. I don't like editing them together. It takes a while, and I'm not very good at it. But I love when they come in, and I love when I eventually get around to posting them.
So people can find that on your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
You play the guitar and you sing basically the harmony part.
Yeah.
So you're inviting the participant to sing lead with your accompaniment and harmony. And it works very well. You've got some nice submissions. They're fun to see.
I'm glad you, thank you.
Devin Sproul is here with me on Spinning on Air. I'm David Garland. We've got a couple more songs to get to, so let's get to them.
Let's get them.
All right. You Can Come Home. Devin Sproul performing in the WNYC studio.
Until I find it.
Devin Sproul performing You Can Come Home with her ensemble here in the WNYC studio. Robin Dan singing some backup, Tom Gill singing backup and playing guitar, Josh Cole bass guitar, and Philippe Melançon playing the drums. Thanks to all of you for making so much wonderful music today here in the WNYC studio. It's been a pleasure to have you. George Wellington is our engineer. I'm David Garland. One last song from Devin Sproul. Say it again.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thanks. One, two, three. Say it again. Couldn't hear you. Shall I come nearer to you? Say it again. Don't leave me wondering and show me what I'm meant to do. Just close your eyes and you'll think. Just close your eyes and you'll think of the way to where you are going. Take me along. Take me this one time. Just give me some time with you. Just close your eyes and you'll see. Just close your eyes and you'll see what you need, and you'll say it to me. Sincerely, 'cause I need so dearly to know.
Here I am nearer to you.